Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Isn't the Bible a wonderful book? You know, I've found that it speaks to every need that we have. Spiritual needs, emotional needs, financial needs, physical needs, needs that we have on the job, in the home, in the office, out there in the world. We need it out there in the world, ladies and gentlemen. It's a shield for us from the evils that surround us. This is an evil world. In fact, John said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. But thank God there'll be a day when the world will have peace, when the Prince of Peace comes with healings in his wings and rules the whole world. All of those who have despised him and rejected him will one day honor him as Lord and King and Master. What a wonderful Savior we have. It's so good to be in the family of God. I invite you to open, by the way, when we open the Bible, the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God is thinking about in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18 and verse number 10. I'm going to throw out a commercial. This message comes from my book, Walking in Wisdom. So if you want a copy of the message, you'll have to get a copy of the book. And folks, it's in the book. And I wrote the book. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 10, after we pray. And now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that thou hast spared our lives and brought us to this moment. We are indeed thankful for the church, the Bible, the cross, the Savior, for your goodness and kindness and mercy and compassion, long suffering to us. I read in the scripture and I found it to be true that not one thing of all the good things that thou hast promised has ever failed. Now I pray that you would bless this people tonight. Some came through adverse circumstances. Some even without the evening meal. Perhaps straight from the job, off the street. Whatever the condition or circumstance or environment, I pray the Holy Spirit would create something new and something holy and righteous and honest and honorable and truthful in our lives. I pray for these families especially where death has come. For the Bullock family, God comfort them tonight. For Vicki Kennedy's family, comfort them tonight. And I pray as the funeral services will be coming tomorrow and then on Friday, I pray the Holy Spirit would just lead and guide and direct. And bless now, I pray, in this hour, to your honor, to your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it, for his sake we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 18, verse number 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Ladies and gentlemen, putting one's faith in the sovereign and all-sufficient God, in the name of the Lord results in peace that is beyond comprehension. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 at verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That word "keep" there is a military term. It is as though God stations a garrison of spiritual soldiers around our hearts, around our minds, and keeps us in perfect peace. And in fact, Isaiah said in the 26th chapter, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Now, the Apostle Paul refers to God in a number of places as the God of peace, but I call to your attention Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. "The God of peace shall be with you." Now, isn't that an amazing thought? The God of heaven, the sovereign, supreme Savior, the judge of the world, the creator, the revelator, the one who gives us salvation and peace and happiness and joy and contentment, he's with us. Remember Emmanuel from Sunday? God with us. Another place is Hebrews 13:20. I love this verse. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every work, in every good work, to do his will." The God of peace. Now, speaking about running into this strong tower, here's a happy note. All men of every race and color and kind and creed and culture and nation and nationality, every man of Adam's race is invited to run into the tower of God's redemptive grace. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll read in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then the very last invitation in the Bible is an all-inclusive invitation. In the Revelation chapter 22 at verse number 17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever is designated," no, that's not what it says. "Whosoever is regulated," no, that's not what it says. "Whosoever is educated," no, that's not what it says. "Whosoever is predestined," no, that's not what it says. "Whosoever is chosen," no, that's not what it says. "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Aren't you glad Jesus paid it all? All to him that we owe. He paid the price, and he offers his salvation to us free of a cost. God has no favorites. God is no respecter of persons. Remember that little song that we sing in the Sunday school? "Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight." Jesus loves the little children of the world. That means Fort Worth too, and Burleson and Crowley and Richland Hills and Arlington and Mansfield and all of these areas. Let me again salute our bus ministry, Brother Bartu, and your dear workers. Most of us don't know the price that these people pay to visit and bring in these little children who otherwise may never, never have a chance. I know sometimes they may get on your nerves, but they don't get on Jesus' nerves because He loves them. And you teachers who teach these little children in the Sunday school and the Awanas, what a marvelous thing it is to have that opportunity to train little ones that Jesus loves. As I think of this strong tower, I think of the foundation of it, and the foundation is truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." The canopy over this tower is love. 1 John 4:8 says, "God is love." And verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, or the mercy seat, for our sins." The mercy seat, remember, in the old economy, was where Aaron, the high priest, would offer the blood of a sacrificial lamb upon the mercy seat to make an atonement for the sins of the people. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Jesus went there, as it were, and put His own blood. I think about the doorway to this strong temple. It's light. John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What is the light of life? That's Jesus Himself. He is the light, and He is the life. And I read in 1 John chapter 1 at verse 5 that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. But He doesn't stop there. The next verse says, "If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Did you get that? "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin." What a wonderful thought. Well, that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. And we'll not tarry long. I know you have had a long, hard day today. Some of you really look like you had. If you looked in the mirror before you left, you probably wouldn't have come to church. Just kidding. You all look good. I've entitled the message simply, "The Strong Tower of the Lord." I want you to note, in the first place, the strong tower of the Lord provides salvation. I remember when I was a student in the Bible Baptist Seminary many years ago, Dr. Ensminger taught us this little course, "I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. Salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation is free." You know, folks, there are only three people that know how to lead that song, and two of them are in heaven. Guess where the third one is? I'll not do it tonight to embarrass others who might want to lead it. But aren't you glad salvation is free tonight? It's free for you. It's free for me. It's free for the whole world. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's all from Him. It's all through the Holy Spirit, and it's all in the Word of God. Jonah said from the belly of a whale in chapter 2 at verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah had to learn a lesson. You and I have to learn lessons. Sometimes God has to put us in the belly of a whale. But you know what happened right after Jonah said that salvation is of the Lord? You know what God did? The next verse says that God spoke to the whale, to the fish, the big fish. Remember what Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. God spoke to that fish. Now the Bible doesn't tell us what God said, but the next part of that verse says that the fish vomited. That's the word the Bible uses. Plain English for us. The Bible says that the fish vomited Jonah on dry land. Jonah had a few words to say to the fish too as he was on the way out. He said, "You can't keep a good man down." I think he may have said something else. He may have said, "If you'd have kept your big mouth shut, I wouldn't be in this trouble." That's a lesson for all of us, isn't it? If you don't want anybody jumping down your throat, keep your mouth shut. That's not even in the text or in the notes. But salvation is of the Lord. It's not in a code. It's not in a covenant. It's not in a constitution. It's not in a compound. Not in a church. Salvation is in a person. And only in a person, and only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I move to a second thought. The strong tower of the Lord provides security. Paul asked the question, and I believe he climbs the summit of all New Testament revelation when he said in Romans chapter 8 at verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I remember in my school days, the name Charles Stanley means something to most of you. Charles Stanley and I were friends, the best of friends, all the way growing up through school. Charles has a holiness background. I look for it to come out every once in a while. But he has a holiness background. And in fact, he was in the holiness church until he was a senior in high school. And many a day, hour after hour, we'd sit on the school ground and discuss. I started to say argue, but two good guys like us would not argue. We discussed the matter of eternal security. He just couldn't believe it. One day I took the word of God and convinced him. And he said, "Now, Raymond, I believe it." You know what he did? Went and joined the Baptist church. And you know the rest of that story. I'm glad that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed." It didn't say in whom. Somebody said, "Don't even put a preposition between my Lord and me." He didn't say, "I know what." All the what's in the world are deteriorating. They're temporal. They're gone. But the whom will last forever, because he's eternal and immortal. "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day." What a wonderful salvation. Clearly taught in the Bible. Remember, Christ himself said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." You know what that word everlasting means? It means without end. Everlasting. Lasting forever. "And shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from his love my soul can sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore." I look again to see that the strong tower of the Lord provides satisfaction. You know, there's nothing in this world that will satisfy the believer. I mean, gold and silver and platinum and brass and iron and things, none of this. Wealth, fame, popularity, none of these things satisfy. But thank God there's satisfaction in Him. And though we are not going to be completely satisfied here, I know we will be there. The psalmist says in Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, to be like Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The tower of the Lord provides strength. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord shall be thy strength. The psalmist said in Psalm 144 and verse 1, blessed be the Lord my strength. And in Psalm 29:11, the Lord giveth his people strength. And in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Wow, what a wonderful Savior, tower, His name, Tower of Strength. Then I see again as I look that the tower of the Lord, the strong tower, provides shelter. Psalm 61 and verse 3 says, thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When I think about shelters, of course, most of our minds would probably go back to an earlier war, maybe World War II, for example, when there were shelters, and then after that, but especially World War II. I think about the people in London, for example. They had shelters all over the city. London was bombed 51 nights in a row by the German Blitz. Many people were killed, but many of them found shelter. You know, I'm glad we found shelter in the Lord Jesus. Let all the bombs of the devil and his cohorts explode around us. We are sheltered in his love, in the tower. What a wonderful thing. And then I see that this strong tower provides sleep. When I think about church and sleep, I think about the lady who said to the pastor, said, you know, my husband sits down on the pew. He goes to sleep every time he comes to church. We get in the bed, he's wide awake. He can't go to sleep in the bedroom. And the pastor said, have you thought about installing a church pew in the bedroom? I'm glad God gives us sleep. There's a time to sleep, of course, and a time not to sleep. But Psalm 127 and verse 2 says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Wow. And Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only makest me dwell in safety. Wow. He gives us sleep. Then I see that it provides a song for us. Psalm 77 and verse 6. The psalmist said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. You know, sometimes night brings fear and brings pain. Have you ever noticed? You go to bed, you haven't had toothache all day, and all of a sudden the tooth starts hurting. Or the big toe starts hurting. Or something starts hurting. Everything hurts more at night. But we have a song. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And by the way, when God establishes your goings, you're going to be going in the right direction. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I read in Psalm 42:8, in the night his song shall be with me. Now let's think about it. Many of us cannot sing. Let's just face it. Oh, when we in the shower, man, we can carry every tune. We get out of the shower, we couldn't carry a tune in a tin bucket. We can carry tunes in the shower. But those of us who do not have the gift of singing will one day have it. Because you know what Revelation chapter 15 and 3 tells me? They will sing a new song. And what are the words of that song? Here they are. It's the song of Moses, the servant of God, and of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Wow. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, there's one more, and I'll be through. Provides for us, this tower, a standard. Isaiah 59 and 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. Now get the picture. And I'm sure that Isaiah had experienced the power of a flood. We just saw on the television tonight where countries are being flooded. The Philippines are being flooded and other countries. The power of a flood. Folks, I remember a few years ago, it rained in Fort Worth. This was way back in the late 70s. I mean, it rained and rained and rained. We lived in Forest Hill at that time. I took off one day to go to a doctor. I've been going to doctors a long time. I took off to go to a doctor and also to a shoe specialist. I had some feet problems. Now I have head problems. No. But I knew I had to wake some of you up. But it rained and it kept on raining. Just rained and rained and rained. And there was a low place and a dip going up the street we lived on. I can't even remember the name of the street. Mary Helen, can you remember the name? She can't remember. Anyway, that was this dip. And boy, I was just driving along and all of a sudden, this car started doing like this. And I knew I was in trouble when I could only see that much of a mailbox in a yard. So, there's the car floating along. And the water's now up to the window. Open the door. No way. I did get the window down. Crawled out of the window with a bunch of books under one arm and a pair of brand new shoes and a box in the other arm, and the water just came right up to my waist. And I finally waded out to a neighbor's house, and I called a wrecker, and the man on the other end of the line said, I'm sorry, we'll get there when we can. So in about an hour I heard the motor of a truck, but it stopped. And I called again. And they said, well, the driver called back and said he'll have to wait till that water goes down before he can get in. So there sits my car floating around. And finally, when the water subsided a little bit, I pushed against them and walked about 3 blocks home. I'm telling you, the power of a flood is enormous. And when the enemy, look at it again, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I mean something to stop the floodwaters. A standard, a wall, as it were. Isn't God good? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I'm glad we can get in the strong tower of the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Now, you may be here tonight. You may have been waiting all day long. Or maybe you've waited since Sunday or a week before last. Or just a few moments before you came to church. You waited. You were saying, I hope I can get to church. I want to get on my knees and thank God for the Lord Jesus, for the Bible, for the church, for my family, for Christmas. I don't know what's in your heart tonight. Maybe you have a prayer burden of some kind. Maybe you have a prayer need of some kind. Maybe you want to just come and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And on your knees, he seems a little closer. I hope if you're here tonight, need that prayer, that when we sing, you'll step right out of your seat. Father, speak to all of our hearts tonight. There may be those that are weary and tired and worn. Maybe somebody who's here unsaved. I don't know. But thou knowest. Whatever the need is, a burden, a problem, a heartache, a prayer of thanksgiving, whatever, I pray the Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct and meet every need. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving.